The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've made it. We're only 4.5 hours away from the first game of the NFL season, but here's the part that really, really excites me. And I think you know this by now, Tiki, because we are beginning our third NFL season together.
Mm-hmm.
I take the predictions very seriously.
Yes, you do. You write them down. You keep them for posterity.
That's right.
Or at least the end of the season when you can mock whoever was wrong.
And even in my own life, since I'd say about 2000, I have written down my NBA, MLB, and NFL predictions. Okay, I write them down. So even right now, if you said 2012, I could go back right now and tell you what I said.
Nice.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm a psycho.
Who'd you say in 2011?
Well, now you got to make me open the document.
I do. Sorry. And I really want to see this because I will be shocked if you had anything close to the Giants.
Right, hold on one second.
Being in the Super Bowl and winning it again.
All right.
And probably you might have had the Patriots because they were so dominant over the AFC East at that time. It almost felt like, yeah, in any given year, you can pick the Patriots.
Right.
Obviously, that's expired. Now that Belichick and Tom Brady are gone. But I you might have said the Patriots. There's no way you got close to the Giants.
I got 2013. That's as far back as it goes.
So I'm having this conversation with myself about nothing.
Well, no. My problem was, on this file, it only goes back to 2013. If I went back into my archives at home, I'll find it. You want to hear my Super Bowl?
Sure. In 2013.
Yes.
Go ahead.
How come it only shows the NFC?
I'm a loser.
I have the Green Bay Packers winning the NFC in 2013. And I can't find the AFC. What the hell's going on?
You got a bug in your system.
I must. But I was wrong about that, by the way. Yeah. I was not right. So last night I sat there. And, you know, I've done all of the reading of the preview magazines. Because you forget. You forget a lot of the changes that have happened over the course of the offseason. And I said, let me start from the end. Because I know how I feel about the Jets and Giants. And we'll go specific on that tomorrow. And by the way, tomorrow will be live from American Dream. So if you want to hang out with us, if you want to yell at us, if you want to bother Tiki Barber for an autograph, we'll be hanging out at the main stage at American Dream tomorrow on a Football Friday. So that will be a lot of fun. And we'll go deep into the Jets and the Giants and all that. So I'm staring at the NFL standings, or standing at all the teams I wrote down. And I'm like, let me start at the end. Who's winning the Super Bowl? What's the Super Bowl? And I went backwards. And I went through the NFC, and I went through every team. And I said, San Francisco's having a bounce back year. I think they're winning the NFC West. But are they getting the Super Bowl? No.
They lost Debo.
They did. I love Atlanta. I think the Falcons are winning the NFC South. I love the Falcons to not be a surprise team, but be a good team.
I still got to go Bucks.
That's fine. I had the Bucks having a disappointing
Maybe
year.
It's Homer by... By DNA.
I think it is, actually.
Certainly. But I like Baker.
That's fine. His predictions. And I had Atlanta, and I looked at them, and I said, could I see it? I can't see it. Then I went to the NFC North, and everyone loves Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Could this be the year for Jordan Love in Green Bay? J.J. McCarthy, I can't trust him. And I looked through the North, and I came up with nobody. So let me just start.
Even though they've been knocking on the door for 2 years now, talking about Detroit, obviously.
Here's the problem with Detroit. They're losers. And I have a tough time believing they'll be in a Super Bowl until I see it.
Until you're not a loser, you're a loser?
Correct.
Even though they got to the NFC Championship game?
You're right. No, I just don't see it. Mm. I feel like they're taking a step back this year. I think the division's going
to
be very good.
They got to the divisional round.
Divisional round.
They lost to the Commanders.
That's right. Mm. The NFC Championship game last year was an all-NFC East game.
That's right.
So then I got to the division. And I'm like, wow, I guess I'm picking a Super Bowl team from the NFC. And I'm sorry. I apologize. They have their flaws, questions at corner, questions replacing Mekhi Becton, questions replacing the OC. The Philadelphia Eagles are going back to the Super Bowl. In fact, I think the Philadelphia Eagles are winning the Super Bowl.
You're already throwing that on
there.
So
let's start right at the back end of this. They're going back to back, and I get it. It sucks. It's not popular to say in New York. Sean shaking his head. Hey, you hate it. I'm just calling it like it is. I'm being a ball strike umpire. I'm giving you my honest opinions. And to show I'm not a troll to you, I then looked at the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
And the first decision I made, this is going to shock Tommy. The first decision I made is that for the first time in 5 years, I am not picking the Kansas City Chiefs.
Huh.
First time. Mm. Can't do it.
You've been right all those other five years.
I have been so loyal to them, always a believer in them.
Uh-huh. Why are you off of them right now?
It's over. They had a great run.
They had a bad Super Bowl.
I understand.
They did it with smoke and mirrors in the regular season last year. We all know that. And then ultimately, they got to the Super Bowl and got blitzed by the best team in the NFL.
Yeah.
Which was the Eagles,
yeah,
who were unreal last season.
Unbelievable.
We forget, like, they started, what, 2-2?
They started 0-2, didn't they?
Maybe, and then but early on they were 2-2, and then they didn't lose a game until Jaden Daniels wasn't available,
right?
And against the Commanders, so they won whatever it was, including in the playoffs. I think 16 games.
No, they had 14, a great year,
14 straight.
Chiefs had a wonderful season. I'm just looking ahead, and I feel like it's over. And I'll tell you something unfootball related that also leads me this way: Roger Goodell winking his eye at Taylor Swift doing the Super Bowl halftime show to me only locks up the fact the Chiefs are not getting to the Super Bowl
because you can't do it if Travis Kelce is performing in this.
But he's also declining. That's the other thing about Travis Kelce. And I don't mean that the Chiefs are going to miss the playoffs. I think they're going to win 12 games. They're going to win the AFC West. There's a good chance they're going on another deep run. They're not getting back to the Super Bowl. So I looked at the AFC. I looked around. I looked at everybody. I analyzed Houston. I looked at Indianapolis just to see Sean's reaction. The Chargers. The Broncos, even after a big year last year, and we all love Sean Payton. Mm-hmm. I looked at the AFC. No, I looked everywhere. And my conclusion was, what are we doing here? There's only two teams. It's the Ravens and the Bills. That's it. Like, I tried to convince myself on Cincy, the defense is just, it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust them.
And they get the bad starts. So.
They get off the bad start. Like, I can't pick the Bengals. I thought about the Texans. Like, perfect. I can't do it. Too many issues. It's starting a rookie at left tackle. So I said to myself, all right, self, it's the Bills or the Ravens. And I get it. This is a very popular pick. But I'm being honest. And I looked at the Buffalo Bills, and I looked square in their eyes, and I hate them. I can't stand McDermott, who, let's never forget, I won't, decided to invoke the terrorists of 9/11 to try to fire up his team. He's disgusting to me. I don't want Sean McDermott to ever win a damn thing. But the more and more they knock on the door, and they bang on the door, the more I believe eventually these losers will get to a place they've been to before. Not these guys, but the franchise, which is the Super Bowl. I mean, I grew up with the Bills going there every single year.
Right.
So unlike the Lions or even the Jets where I say, they're losers, they'll never get there. The Bills can get to a Super Bowl. I've seen it happen. So I hate this, but I do think this is the year that the Buffalo Bills knock down the door and then get embarrassed by the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl. So I apologize for my long-windedness, but I wanted to give you my thinking. The grand result is the Philadelphia Eagles will defeat the Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl. You're welcome. Thank me later.
And go back-to-back for the first time since the Chiefs did it. And prior to that, it was the New England Patriots. NFL Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy week one matchup between Pittsburgh and New York, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So I cannot disagree at all about
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find The Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NFC. You look at all the teams that were likely to win the divisions, none of them are better than the Philadelphia Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles won a Super Bowl last year, and they did it in dominant fashion against the perennial Super Bowl attendee in the Kansas City Chiefs, and they maybe got better this offseason, which is kind of crazy. They're a young team, which is exciting, I guess, for them. They have one of the best coaching staffs. Jeff Stoutland is probably the best offensive line coach, so even though they have continuity up there, the receiving core is great. Obviously, the running back is a 2,000-yard rusher. Their defense is dynamic. The Eagles are going to win the NFC. Again, I agree with you.
We agree.
I differ in the AFC. So we all know the Kansas City Chiefs have been the dominant team. And there have been two teams, and you correctly pointed them out, that have just been knocking on the door. They just can't get past the Chiefs. They're blocked. It's like really great teams that maybe would have won Super Bowls, save for the Chiefs being in their way. And you said the Buffalo Bills and Baltimore is the other team. For me, I look at the Baltimore Ravens, and they now going into the third year of their offensive coordinator who has helped Lamar Jackson, I don't want to say develop because he's always been a good passer, but make better decisions in this past game. He's clearly one of the great running quarterbacks that we've ever seen. And every single year, it's not like a quarter that he's bad or they're bad or a half that they're terrible. It's like three plays in a game.
Or sometimes it's a drop that screws him.
Or a drop by one of the best tight ends in football, as we saw Mark Andrews last year. It's always like that little thing that keeps them from taking that next step. And I think maybe this is biased because I really like Lamar Jackson, and I've loved him since he was in college, and he was maligned coming out because he was a running quarterback, and he's just proven everybody wrong. Two MVPs. He should have won one last year, but they had to give it to Josh Allen because he was never going to win one if it didn't happen last season. I'd like Baltimore to come out of the AFC to finally break through
and
get to the Super Bowl. I think I agree with you, though. I think the Eagles repeat.
Now, I just want, for the record, I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm just giving the facts. You pick the two quarterbacks who happen to love your children.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah. That's just a coincidence.
That's just a coincidence.
I agree.
But you know, I don't believe in coincidence.
Sean Morash, your Super Bowl prediction.
First of all, it's not worst to first, but I do want it on the record because I think it's important. I do have a surprise near worst to first playoff team.
Near worst to first.
I believe the Carolina Panthers are going to the playoffs.
That's a big one. That's an impressive one.
The late surge last year from Bryce Young and his sit down coming back, and I think they've been so under the radar. Nobody cares about them.
Right.
They are the definition of like Denver last year, a team nobody sees coming, open back end of the NFC.
Right.
Maybe the South gets two teams in. Give me the Carolina Panthers in the playoffs.
That's interesting because Dave Canales doesn't get enough credit. Yep. But the way he handled that situation last year with Bryce Young, who was a disaster coming off that first year, it was masterful because all of a sudden it was like, man, this looks like the kid from college.
He went from being a bust to actually being good.
100%.
And they do have one of the softest schedules in the league, so it's not crazy.
Yep. And I think Canales may win Coach of the Year as a result. Mm. Okay, so that's first and foremost. As far as the Super Bowl goes, AFC side. Bless your heart, Evan. Sean McDermott is not beating Harbaugh or Andy Reid, dare I say both, to get through and go to Super Bowl. The Bills are not going with that head coach as long as they have the head coach. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. They are going back to a fourth Super Bowl in a row. I don't care that Travis Kelce's gotten fat and engaged. That team is still good, and Patrick Mahomes is still special. They are going back. Now, as far as the NFC goes.
How much will the Giants beat them by in the Super Bowl, you think? 20?
No. I mean, look,
27?
The Chiefs might have two losses. One of them will be week three. No biggie. As far as the NFC goes, last year we saw a theme with the Philadelphia Eagles. We as Giants fans had our noses rubbed in it about the Saquon Barkley theme. Nobody you could picture having their noses rubbed in it more than Jerry Jones. This Micah Parsons trade is not going away. The Green Bay Packers, by getting, I think, maybe the best pass rusher in football, you want to argue, whatever. I believe that Micah Parsons will pay big dividends. This fake back injury will go away. And I think they play a classic NFC championship game with the Eagles. We forget. You know, I know it got away from them. Packers hung in there enough last year with the Eagles in that game. I think the Green Bay Packers are going to the Super Bowl. And I think ultimately, why has Mahomes lost the Super Bowls he's lost? Pass rush. I think Micah Parsons wins Super Bowl MVP. I think the Packers beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Wow.
And we wake up the day of the Super Bowl Sunday with two topics in mind. Number one, Jerry Jones, when he does meet his ultimate fate and passes away, will be remembered in the end for, oh my God, he let Micah Parsons get away and they won a Super Bowl immediately. They become the joke. And number two, Patrick Mahomes can never beat Tom Brady because now he has too many Super Bowl losses. That's my pick.
Wow.
That seems ulterior motives.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about the Giants. That was all about.
How does it have to do with the Giants? Getting
the Giants off people's minds by a bad trade, or it's not even a trade.
It's a bad movement of player.
Right, bad player exit.
What you're doing is, and I respect it, is you're saying you dealt with a tough pill last year. You, more than anybody as a Giant fan, had to deal and eat the Saquon stuff. You were arguing with Eagle fans all the time. You had to wear the L for a month when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, and Saquon was a big part of their run. And so I think what you're doing now is you're basically creating that the same thing is going to happen to another team you hate as the Dallas Cowboys.
Look, I'm not going to deny I hate the Dallas Cowboys. And you're right, like, there is a Saquon tinge. I'll be honest, though. I am so knee-deep, and I just finished that Jerry Jones documentary. Mm-hmm. And I'm more convinced than ever that his recent making of the documentary is part of why they traded, because he keeps leaning on the Herschel Walker trade, and that's a big part of the documentary. I think he thinks he's going to strike gold here, like the Herschel Walker trade. It's going to be the complete opposite effect where another team wins the Super Bowl. This is more about Jerry Jones in my mind than it is the New York Giants.
Whatever you say.
What did they get for Micah again?
They got two number ones and
Kenny Clark.
And Kenny Clark.
Which is, I mean, Kenny Clark wasn't moving the needle. It was the two number ones. And there was a report yesterday that the Eagles made a phone call, that Howie Roseman picked up the phone.
But I'm sure everybody made a phone call.
You have to. I think you should be fired if you didn't. Right. You know, it's like in fantasy sports, when someone says, I'm trading a great player, you call that GM, even if they're going to hang up on you. You have to. So I think that it probably happened, but there was never a chance in hell that Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones were going to trade Micah Parsons to the Eagles. All right, so I have Eagles over Bills. Tiki has Eagles over Ravens. Sean has Packers over Chiefs. What do you got, Tommy?
I don't know whether to be angry or flattered that Sean took my take from last week about the Cowboys now being the butt of the joke, the Giants of this season, and, you know, injecting it with steroids. Because he literally took
Is that
my,
what you did, Sean?
Sean admitted it.
Hold on. Not only do I admit I admitted last week on the air when Tommy said, I love that take.
Okay, it's a new audience. And I think you're onto something. So you should have prefaced it by saying, this is Lou Gower's take that he had last week, and I'm just going to take it a step further, or I'm going to spell it out. That you should have done, because audiences change. That's all. If you're going to totally rip off my stuff, at least admit it. And another thing, if we're going to give opinions like you did about a playoff team that Evan didn't ask you about, I'm going to give one. Here's a surprise playoff team, and it's going to anger Evan Roberts. It's a team nobody sees coming. The Miami Dolphins are going. Tua is going to stay healthy, and when he does, he wins games. Say what you want about him.
True,
he wins games. Everybody thinks it's going to be the Patriots or the Jags or the Cardinals, Raiders. Those are trendy. Dolphins make the playoffs.
Just a timeout. The audience doesn't care, but I care. I picked the Dolphins to make the playoffs in a group chat Tommy's in, and I got killed for it, so he's ripping off my
Which I mute, and I don't read the text. All right, so at the task at hand. Let's start with the NFC first. I'm looking at a team with the best head coach in the conference. I'm looking at a team with one of the best quarterbacks in the conference. I'm looking at a team with a great rushing attack, two outstanding wide receivers, and a great defense. And the team I'm describing is the Los Angeles Rams. I believe the Los Angeles Rams, who gave the Eagles their best game in the playoffs last year. Stafford, I'm not buying in the back injury. I think that's more of his way of just kind of like, you know, skirting through camp. And I look at that defense that's gotten better, the rushing attack. They have Devontae Adams, best head coach in the conference. I think the Rams go to the Super Bowl this year. Now, as far as the AFC, as my sign.
I want to pull a Tommy Rashawn.
Yeah.
That was my opinion last year. You stole it.
You had Rams winning or going?
I had them losing to the Chiefs, because I always pick the Chiefs. Right. I think it was Chiefs Rams, and obviously I was wrong.
Okay. So I'm going to say this about the AFC.
Just don't trust Matt Stafford being healthy.
Health-wise?
That's the only reason I would disagree with you.
What's their backup? Jimmy G?
The Rams, the Rams are the kind of team that it would not, like, I think that's a really quality pick. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't make that pick, but I get it.
Right.
Great head coach.
You can't dismiss it out of hand.
Would never dismiss it. I picked it last year. Obviously, I think they also have bust factor written all over it. They could go 4-13. Like, they're one of those teams, and I won't say that about a lot of teams in the NFL, that they would not surprise me if they're picking top five and they're about to find their next quarterback. But they also can go on a run. So, decent pick. What about the AFC?
So AFC, I'm going against what I really believe is going to happen. Because in my soul, until the Chiefs are done, they're not done. It's like the Patriots. Every year they're done, but they're not really done. And unless Patrick Mahomes retires, they're not done. Here's why the Bills are going to the Super Bowl, and Evan did not mention this.
He's copying my pick!
No. Well, copying to a degree, but I had that originally. Here's why I think they're going. They are going to absolutely crush everyone in that division. They are going to have the number one seed. For the first time, I believe, ever, it's going to go through Buffalo. I understand they lost to the Bengals. They've lost to the Chiefs at home. But I believe with the number one seed, finally, it's their year. Like, think about this. Is Josh Allen and Tatis put the ball, all our points except for Sean, there's no way that Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen are not getting to a Super Bowl. It doesn't mean the Chiefs are done. They'll probably get back there next year. One of these years, they're getting there. And this is the year, and it's also the year, that the Buffalo Bills with, ready for this, the best quarterback in the NFL. Now, Mahomes is the winner. Josh Allen, talent-wise, is the best quarterback in the NFL, in my opinion. They will win the Super Bowl this year, the Bills.
The one thing I will not correct you on necessarily, but the Bills hosted the Chiefs 2 years ago in the divisional round.
But right? They didn't have home field, the Bills.
No, but they lost to Kansas City in their own Bills.
And they lost to the Bengals. They've lost home games at home. I get that. But now with the number one seed, rode through Buffalo, they don't have to go to Kansas City. I think it's their year.
I agree with a lot of what you said. I think they're going to smoke the AFC East. Mm. I do. I think the Dolphins are going to be terrible.
Who's catching all the passes?
Shakir led him in receptions and last year.
Second year for Keon Coleman will be important.
Dalton Kincaid, the running game.
They don't have a wide receiver who's had a 1,000-yard season.
But you know what, Zeke?
Coach stinks.
But last year, think about this. Going into the year last year when we all looked at Buffalo, that was one of the big concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And Shakir led them in receptions.
They didn't have
superstar receivers, it worked.
But they had some glue guys. They had Mac Hollins, who's one of my favorite players in the league, just because he's a glue guy. Like, wherever he goes, he helps the chemistry of a team. And he doesn't wear shoes, which is kind of cool. Or take elevators, because nothing's going to take him where he has to go.
What?
That's what he said.
He doesn't take elevators?
He does not take elevators.
What if he visits the Empire State Building?
He would walk it.
That's a tough guy.
And I'm not even joking.
That's a tough guy right there.
I just worry about the playmakers. And so much of it feels like it's going to be on Josh Allen. He's getting a tad older. He basically led the team in touchdowns, rushing and throwing, obviously throwing, but he had 15 rushing touchdowns last year. Maybe it was 14, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like, how long can he keep doing that?
No, it's a question, and he did it last year, to your point. Not only the numbers, but he didn't have excellent playmakers a year ago. We shall see. All I know is after 207 days, football's back. And WFAN NFL football is powered by Verizon. Jose is calling from Brentwood. What's up, Jose?
Hey, Jose.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
What's up, man?
Hey, I'm super excited for the season. I wanted to say two things. Something about the conspiracy from last night, but for the football, do you guys have any traditions? You know, for my family, you know, I'm at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm playing Thunderstruck and around the whole house.
That's awesome.
Getting my kids pumped up for the game. And the conspiracy, when you look at Amazon, like when you're looking at live, the pitch is, you know, you can see it's way off the pitch. It's way off the zone. But then when you go onto the app, they're kissing like it's a strike. So it's like it seems fishy. You know, MLB could be like, you know what, we're getting a lot of heat. You know, let's just move a little bit to the left. You know, so that's what I'm thinking. Well, I got pictures.
You know, Jose, I mean, it's interesting you mentioned
pictures.
That. There isn't a camera shot directly from behind the pitcher, so every box that we see and we think is correct is skewed. Like, even this game that we've been watching, this Jim Abbott no-hitter.
It's right.
It's slightly off the pitcher's right hip.
Have you ever watched a game, because I have, where the camera's directly straight on?
I have not.
I remember a game a few years ago. I think ESPN may have done it.
You'd have to have height or the camera on the rope.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they did it. I just remember a handful of games years ago, and you could look it up, Sean, see if I'm right about this. I think it was an ESPN thing. I hated it. It was like, whoa, I can't watch baseball this way. It was very, very strange, and maybe it's because we're just so accustomed to watching it from a slight angle.
Right, but we had a caller earlier talk about the conspiracy to get the automatic, or at least the review system. Which we saw tested.
Yes. In spring training.
In spring training.
Yeah.
There's a good chance that happens.
Yeah, I hate the review. And I hate it because I watched it in spring training. And my opinion is, if you're going to have an automated strike zone, have it for every pitch. Well, don't have it be a selective challenge system. I don't like that.
It puts it more into the hands of the player.
No, but you know what it does? And you're right. And that's not my issue. Here's my issue. And you guys will all understand that once they institute this next year. There's a delay in the outcomes. So now a pitch that's a ball that's called a strike, we have to wait 8 seconds.
No, of course. That happened. I remember this in the preseason because Edwin Diaz challenged one, and it was a third strike.
Right.
I think it was the end of the game.
It may have been.
I'm pretty sure it was the end of the game. And it was called a ball. He challenged it. And then 10 seconds later, game over.
And
that's
my issue.
Celebration?
That's my issue. It's not like it's time consuming. It's not a time consuming issue. It's a delayed reaction to greatness. We have this in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I love the NFL, but you're going to see this tonight. Like, there's going to be a touchdown bomb to A.J. Brown, and what's your first reaction going to be? Is there a flag? Like, that's not ideal.
Right.
Now, when you're at a game, this is why I love being at games. I've learned this over the years because at first it was like, I'm a TV guy. Here's why I love being at games. You can see it for yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't have to wait for the stupid yellow flag to come up or for there to be a mistake.
Right.
Look at the field. And so that delayed reaction on great moments, I hate. And if you have a challenge system in baseball on balls and strikes, you're adding to it.
But it's only going to be limited challenges.
Yeah,
so that's the beauty of it. So you got to be judicious about it. So last night, if it was in the Brian Walsh game, mm-hmm. and you're the Yankees, what are you challenging? You have two challenges. We know exactly what they're challenging.
Well,
they're challenging the ball that walked in the run,
right?
And then you're challenging the last strike.
But you also have to me, if you're going to have a challenge system, every time you get it right, you don't lose a challenge. You keep it as long as possible.
I would agree with that.
Because then you're getting blamed for a bad umpire. Mm-hmm. Great, I corrected two calls. What about the third call? As far as traditions are concerned, you know what my tradition is? And this is new because I'm a father now. Here's my tradition. To do everything I possibly can for my wife and kids so that at 1 o'clock I can sit my fat ass in front of a TV and not be bothered.
What a hero. What an American hero.
But what else can you do? I give them everything. I tell my wife, whatever you want to do before 1 o'clock, maximize me. Maximize the crap out of me so that I don't feel guilty at 2:15 when she's like, I'm like, no.
We haven't left the house all day.
So that's my tradition.
I've perfected watching my kids while watching football, let my wife do whatever. I positioned their kids' playroom when we put the house right next to my TV room. My wife thinks I stare at them for 12 hours. They do whatever, knock each other out, and I do nothing but watch football.
God bless
you. Have a great day, is it that?
God bless you.
I have a good tradition, though. I started last year, I think. You know, you just eat and drink all day and you're a slob. But most people are, right? I wake up 8 a.m., Nick Costos on WFAN, you better you bet. I walk the dogs 3 miles, listen to the whole show, figure out what I'm going to bet, compare my bets, and get my exercise in.
Oh,
every single
good
Sunday.
Good tradition.
That seems like just a weird way to promote something else on our radio station.
No, I'm serious. It's just my weird way to get my exercise, and I'm like getting in the zone to watch football.
All right. That's fine. Did you have one as a player, or was it just...
Ron Stone would make me waffle.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'd get spaghetti, sometimes with the sauce, have a couple bottles of water.
Yeah.
Get my mind right. Read the Wall Street Journal.
That's a good little strategy.
I mean, if I didn't know it already, what the hell?
I think
most guys are digging into their playbooks. I'm like, dude, if you don't know it yet,
you're screwed. You're screwed. It's like you're late night cramming at that rate.
It doesn't matter.
Here's the amazing thing about the NFL, and I think it's a part of why it's America's number one sport. We had made reference to Mark Andrews' drop in the postseason last year. And I was thinking about it, and I'm like, my God, that feels like it happened 5 years ago. Like, it feels like the NFL playoffs happened an eternity ago.
Right.
When the NBA season restarts, we're going to be like, oh, yeah, that happened a week ago, right? Tyrese Halliburton ripped his Achilles. That stunk. Even baseball. You know, we think it's such a long offseason. When the baseball season starts next March, we're going to be like, oh, yeah, right. Did the World Series just end?
Mm-hmm.
Football, because its offseason is so insanely long, and obviously there's reason why it needs to be. Because the guys are beating the crap out of each other for 17 games.
And it feels like you talk about so many other things other than games.
It's true. But I think it also makes you appreciate it more. And so that's why the expansion of an NFL schedule always makes me queasy. Because a part of the charm of the NFL is it's an event. There's only 17 games. It's not even for a majority of the calendar year the way the NBA and baseball and the NHL are. And so when the season starts on a night like tonight, it's special. Mm-hmm. Sunday at 1 o'clock, it's special. And it's why NFL is king.
It is. I mean, and they create unbelievable storylines.
And it's so special. It's why you shouldn't sell your tickets when you have tickets to opening day.
Stop. I explained this 15 times. I have to, as
the professional that I am,
watch the Jets, the Giants, the Mets, and the Yankees. I'm doing my job.
If you didn't have this job and you didn't have to talk about
it. Oh, I'd be at the Jet game.
Jet game.
100%.
Not the Met game.
And I'll tell you something else. No, not the Met game. The Mets weren't the reason, because I want to remind you that last year on opening night, the Mets played at the same time against the Phillies. Hmm. And I gave up the Met game. I had it on my phone, so I didn't even try to DVR. Right. Like, the Mets are not the issue. The issue is that it's the Giants and the Yankees, too. It's three different things. And so I don't know why you don't accept that, Sean.
I think the audience
has accepted it. I'm a good human who had to make a decision. I want to go to Brooklyn Nets opening night. If it corresponds with a World Series game featuring the Mets and the Yankees, I'm not going to go.
I'm a baby.
We'll see you at the Barclays.
No, you won't.
No, you will see you at the bar.
No, you won't. No. And then you'll make me feel bad again. You'll say, you big Nets fan. You know, you got Cam Thomas back on the qualifying offer. You're not showing up, by the way. Set the clock. I need 30 seconds.
Why? The Nets still in the league. Oh,
Cam Thomas has accepted the qualifying offer, which means he'll make about $6.5 million.
Oh, he's going to be unhappy.
Here's what this means. He's not only unhappy, he's gone. Mm. He's gone. He has a full no-trade clause because of this. He becomes an unrestricted free agent next year. He hates the organization.
What if they want to trade him somewhere that's really cool?
Well, then he have to say yes.
That's what I mean.
But he's gone.
Mm. Either way, he's gone.
He's gone.
Right.
Here's my point. Cameron Boucher Thomas, thank you for the lack of memories. Really, that game winner at the Garden's the only one.
5 seconds.
Well, and you're done.
Well.
So great job, Sean Marks. You brilliant, brilliant man.
Right. I was being sarcastic. I have to actually start paying attention to your net rants now, because you and I, you as a Net fan, me as a Giant, have something in common.
What the hell is that? We're losers?
No. Julia Koch.
Who's
just
that?
Just bought the $10 billion, or the $1 billion? 10% stakes? Yeah, $1 billion investment in the New York Giants.
And she also invests in the Nets?
In the group.
The Brooklyn Nets and the Liberty?
The Brooklyn Nets, whatever. Brooklyn Sports, whatever it is.
Brooklyn Sports Entertainment.
Something like that. Yeah, she invested in that. She also invested in the Giants.
So what you're trying to tell me is that
we're related now.
The Nets and the Giants are basically owned by the same people?
No, not quite.
But we are related.
Wow.
The hapless Nets.
Well, the hapless Giants. We get along very well. Two clueless organizations.
But I think, by the way, just to get to that point, I think it's a humongous and a great deal for the Giants and the Mares and the Tishers. Obviously, you clear some money,
but
it also gives you freedom to sign free agents, because now you have all of that excess cash that you need to put in escrow.
Well, that's good. Then.
It's hard to do that. It's hard to sign big time free agents when you're writing a check and putting it in escrow every dollar you guarantee.
Right.
You have to put away.
You know what they should do? They should take the extra money and lower season ticket prices. That'd be badass. Real quick, this question is only for Sean Morash. He's the only person in the human world that can answer this. You can only keep one of them. Brian Daboll or Jordy? Go.
Brian Daboll or who?
Jordy Fernandez.
Jordy Fernandez, the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets, who was awesome. You only keep one.
I'm aware. I'm going to keep Brian Daboll.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's an easy.
Because I'm attaching him to Jackson Dart.
Gotcha.
I don't have a Jackson Dart for the Nets yet.
Really? You don't attach any of the 18 first-round picks we used to Jordy?
Not yet.
So in 5 years, when the Nets are good?
The Nets still in the league.
Who on this current team is still there?
Well, I would hope the four guys they drafted, not Cam Thomas, I can tell you that.
I don't know. I'm just asking.
No, I think that when you use four first-round picks, certainly the hope is that they'll be here.
I mean, it feels like you just draft a bunch and see and hope one of them hits.
Yeah, it's called throwing crap against the wall.
Yes, exactly.
It's actually a brilliant strategy. Jordy will be here after Daboll, long after Daboll. Write that down.
He might be. I hope. I'm not rooting against him. I want him to be here. He asked me to pick one or the other.
Well, that's why I only asked you, because you are a rare Giant Net fan.
Not as rare as you think with the jersey thing. You know who will be there after all of them? Anthony Volpe, because he's back in the lineup tonight. But take some calls.
Is he really?
This team makes us hate our own players like nobody's business. I can't stand it.
Right. If he's out of sight, maybe he's out of mind for a couple of days.
You think we want to hate Anthony Volpe?
Mm, no.
We don't want to hate the Yankees
either. We want him to be good. He's just not going to get good by continually having this mental block with everything that he's doing.
It's a rubber game versus the Astros tonight. Sit the guy down. What are we paying
for? When's he going down?
For?
When is he sitting down? When he's sub 200?
This offseason. That's when.
Look, the problem is it's not about getting him right. It's about the Yankees are playing the rubber game of a 3-game series, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge swing game in terms of not this series against the Astros, but the only thing I care about, which is winning the American League East. That's the only thing that matters. And they're going to play the Blue Jays starting tomorrow night. Right now the Yankees are 3.5 out. Mm-hmm. There's a huge difference between being 3 out and 4 out.
Right.
Okay? Huge difference. Tonight is a really important game for the New York Yankees. Very important. Again, not because of the tough test that they have of facing good teams. A lot of people prop that up, and I get it. I disagree with you. It's about the AL East.
Right.
And so when I'm constructing a starting lineup tonight in a very important baseball game, I'm not playing the guy who's 0 for his last 10. I'm not playing the guy who right now is not my best option. My best option is Jose Caballero. Period. Stop. He is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't get it. And I've defended Boone at times with this. I can't do it anymore. He is not their best option to be in the starting lineup tonight. and Aaron Boone is making a mistake. And if it's coming from Brian Cashman, shame on him. If that's where it's coming from,
right,
shame on Cashman. But all I can do and all we can do is blame Aaron Boone for this.
It becomes indefensible. Like, you just can't give a logical reason that it makes sense to keep trotting him out there.
Doesn't make sense. Not anymore. Like, I was good with the let's bench him for 2 days. Mm-hmm. I supported it. I thought it was a new awakening for Boone and the Yankees. It hasn't been, because he's played every day since then. And that's not how the Yankees should do business right now. Mario's in Long Beach. Hey, Mario.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
Yeah, good. Now, listen, I got a quick Cinco de Five on why I think Volpe should play.
Oh.
You ready?
why he should play.
Why he should play, and this fencing stuff is not.
Okay, before you begin, Sean, myself, we're going to let him finish. Let him go through the five.
I may even walk out of the room.
I'll go real quick, and then I'll listen to the answer.
All right, go ahead. Mario, floor is yours.
I spent time putting it
together.
Okay,
Tommy?
Number five. Okay, Caballero has a .227 career batting average. Volpe has .222. Not that much difference, but Caballero has no power at all. Number four. Volpe has 19 homers, 70 RBIs. That's sixth among second basemen. Number three.
But he's a shortstop, but go ahead.
Volpe's last six games, he's batting .285, and his fielding is much better. So he has been hitting the last six games. All right.
Number two.
You're going to like number one. Number two is Caballero never played in a postseason game in his career.
Okay.
Number one.
And this is going to be the one that's going to make the difference. We can all believe, and we all know, that the reason why the Yankees don't win the postseason is that they don't play well, they don't hit well, they don't do those things well, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So guess who their number one hitter in the postseason is, average-wise? Volpe, .285. And if my memory serves me correct, he hit a grand slam in the World Series last year. I rest my case. Thanks, guys, for taking my call.
Appreciate you, Mario.
You want to respond to that, Sean?
Like, thank God he came with number one with, like, okay, the high batting average. I'll give him that. This is a different Anthony Volpe. The other ones stink. First of all, and it's not as well, it's Caballero. So if you're going to trash a guy, get his name right. Number two, you named Anthony Volpe a second baseman. Get his position right. And number three, like, do you trust Anthony Volpe right now? Forget what happened the last 2 years. And I'm not punishing Caballero for not playing in the playoffs either. You can't trust him defensively or offensively. And bringing up his defense, we've seen two nights in a row. I mean, it just doesn't end.
Well, and by the way, we're not saying that Anthony Volpe needs to be benched and never see the field again.
No, it's just, it's time to play your best players. I gave up on not playing Grisham. I was so wrong on that. Play your best players now. Mm-hmm. Enough.
Yeah, there's a lot there that's not fair. Like, since the trade where they brought Caballero in here, he's played 23 games. He's hitting .270 with an .860 OPS.
Yeah.
He gets on base. He's a stolen base threat every time he's on base.
No, he gets ejected every other game, but that's okay.
Well, that's
then
okay.
Volpe can play.
He has already stolen 8 bases, which is 6th on the team. And he's only been here for less than a month.
Right.
So, as a Yankee, he's been productive. So, I think citing anything else is not fair. The other thing is that Anthony Volpe, and his hot streak is off of a nice few days in Chicago.
Against the White Sox.
For the
terrible.
Most part, he's done nothing. And I just think some things are simple. Jose Caballero, I'm not putting him in the Hall of Fame. I'm not calling him Barry Larkin. I'm not saying he's the longtime answer at shortstop for the Yankees. Currently, on September 4th, he is the better option than Anthony Volpe.
Right.
And nothing that Mario said changes that view.
No, and if you don't believe in that, like, put the best option out there, then you're doing it for alternative reasons, right? You're doing it because you don't want Anthony Volpe to fail. You don't want Anthony Volpe to be, I don't know, a lost project. You don't want Anthony Volpe to be offended or hurt. But that doesn't matter, right? At some point, the team becomes more important. Now, I think the Yankees, because they're so well built, and I'm talking about the character of the team, they're not getting upset with him. But I could see on some teams, especially if this was football, and you just kept running a guy out there who was bad on a daily basis, the team would get pissed.
Yeah, you'd say you're not putting the best guys
100%.
Out there.
100%. And you'd get pissed at the guy, obviously, but you'd get pissed at the coach. So I don't think that's happening.
No, I don't think it's. I think they love the kid, but.
Agreed. And baseball is different, but. And there's more of an urgency because there's such a limited number of games in the sport that I play. But I saw this many times. Like, this guy doesn't deserve to be out there.
and people would get pissed.
Yeah.
And it'd be communicated that way.
Well, right now, the players aren't pissed, but all their fans are pissed. Mm-hmm. Steve is calling from Flushing. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, good, man?
Excited about the NFL season. I had two out-of-the-box points I wanted to bring up, and I wanted to get your guys' opinions on that, if you may.
Yes.
Okay, so the first one is, you guys mentioned, like, worst to first in the division, right? Mm-hmm. So I think, obviously, the 49ers would be the most more obvious clear-cut choice for that. But a team I don't hear many people mentioning, and I don't think it's going to be Carolina, because I think they lost both Thielen and Coker, I think is his name. So I don't think they're going to do anything. But I like the Titans in the AFC South to be like what the Redskins were last year, just because like no one sees them coming. And I think Cam Ward is a really good quarterback. He could be what Jaden Daniels was to the Commanders last year.
That's the key to all of it. That's right. The key to this is, can Cam Ward, we've talked so much about in the context of the Giants and Jackson Dart starting guys right away. Well, Cam Ward is starting right away. How good can he be?
I mean,
what is your impression? I know it's camp, it's preseason,
camp means nothing.
Yeah.
Just like with Jackson Dart, it doesn't mean anything. But there's not a veteran alternative that makes sense for the Tennessee Titans, because the backup is Brandon Allen.
And he's definitely going to play. The question is, can they be a playoff team?
No, like I'm just saying, this is why he's starting.
Yeah.
And so it's not because he beat out the competition. Will Levis got hurt.
Yeah.
Levis was the incumbent to an extent. But that's they were going to compete.
But that's also on them for not bringing anyone in who is a legitimate threat like Russell Wilson.
100%. Now, they do have some pretty good wide receivers, because Calvin Ridley, he was suspended.
Two years ago now.
He was suspended. He came back. He was in Jacksonville. He's a talented, really talented player. And I think that combination is one to keep an eye on. But then it's some old heads like Tyler Lockett and Van Jefferson. Like, there's some guys who you're not really sure are going to be able to be explosive in today's NFL. And so much of it is going to be on the run game with Tony Pollard. So do I trust that he's going to be great enough for them to go from worst to first? I don't, to be honest with you.
I think
he'll be good, but I don't think he's going to be good enough to be like C.J. Stroud or Jaden Daniels.
I was looking at the betting odds on the likeliest quarterback to be benched first.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have the complete rankings in front of me, just based on betting odds. The most likely quarterback to be benched first is Spencer Rattler.
Yeah.
Which is not surprising.
That makes sense.
That's an obvious one. They've got Tyler as their backup, and I assume he's going to play this season. I mean, when you draft a young quarterback, as much as I've advised, sit a guy as long as you can, the odds are they're going to play.
Right.
The number two most likeliest quarterback to be benched at 3-1 odds is Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Which, again, same thing. The Browns are going to stink.
Did they keep four?
Well, they definitely kept three, because Dylan Gabriel and Shador were there.
They traded Kenny Pickett.
They signed...
Huntley got cut.
That's right. They signed and then they cut Snoop Huntley.
Right.
So... the question with Joe Flacco is, when they bench him, is it Gabriel or is it Sanders? The third likeliest quarterback to be benched, and I got to tell you, this one may be higher, is Daniel Jones. And I don't mean that as a knock on Daniel, but you've got a very talented guy who I still think they sort of believe in, sitting right behind him.
I think they want to believe in him. The only thing I would question is the work ethic thing. Because they said it without saying it. So I did a lot of those games last year. And they said it without ever saying it. It's a work ethic thing.
Right.
How to be a professional. And when you hear that, it means he's not working. Not like
that's concerning.
Not like on the practice field,
right.
But just understanding what he's supposed to do.
The next quarterback is J.J. McCarthy, which I'm surprised about. They're not benching him.
No.
Carson Wentz is the backup. They're going to let J.J. play.
Right.
And then, are you ready for this? There's a virtual tie between two quarterbacks.
Hmm.
Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Now,
I can't see it.
The Fields one?
With Fields.
I would be... he would have to be... forget injury, because that's not being benched.
What's the update on Tyrod Taylor?
He's ready.
He's ready.
What I heard from Aaron Glenn was, I think he's going to be ready to go. He's going to be the backup.
So then maybe.
I here's where I disagree on the maybe. Justin Fields would have to be unplayably bad for the Jets to take the L and say, we're going to go with a guy who's not the future into Rod Taylor and start him.
But if they are, I think the scenario is likely to play out differently. And this is why the odds are this way. It's they're playing good football, but they're bad quarterback decisions away from winning games.
And that's when they say, we're trying to win games, let's go to Rod Taylor.
It's more important to win games.
And we have no loyalty or tie, really, to Justin Fields, other than the $20 million you're paying him this year and next year. But it's I just feel like if they are that close and it's the quarterback, and it's clearly the quarterback, it's not like, oh, the offensive line is giving up, you know, too much quick pressure, or his wide receivers are dropping balls, or the run game is stagnated because whatever happens in the run game. But if it's clearly the quarterback, I could see that becoming an issue for Aaron Glenn.
I'd be stunned. Because
as I've said multiple times, and when you're a first-time head coach, you have to win.
No, I get you, but they brought him in. They were the ones who signed Justin Fields. They're not going to take that kind of loss by saying, yeah, the guy we brought in, we're benching him after 5 weeks. Let's go with the guy we inherited, Tyrod Taylor. It's just not happening. And I know that's not a good answer.
They also brought in Tyrod Taylor.
No, they didn't. He was on the team. They decided not to get rid of him. Think about it. They decided they had a quarterback room. They got rid of Aaron Rodgers. They didn't get rid of Tyrod Taylor. They chose to add Justin Fields.
That's right.
So I can't see that happening. I think Russell Wilson will be benched before Justin Fields. And that's not to say he's better. It's just that I'm looking at the circumstances. We'll come back with your calls. Plus, we have a Cinco de
50-888-808-1019. I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.